Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to New Life Live. I say everybody, but I know it's just you in the car, or you at home, work, and then I've got Mylon, and I've got Jill here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, he and his wife Kay. How We Love is their amazing book. Dr. Jill Hubbard, the latest one, I think, is Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's a great one. And how many people don't forgive their fathers? You know, I say you got to get over your mom and dad, whether they're great or not, because if they're, well, we know you got to get over them and resolve it and all if they're crummy, but if they're great, you have to get over that too, because then if you don't, you're going to be expecting husband or wife to be just like mommy or daddy, and they can't duplicate that.
You know, one of the most important things is to have an adult voice around your parents, no matter what kind of parent they were.
Yeah.
So to be able to voice your opinions as an adult is to claim your adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't acknowledge it, we have to claim our adulthood by having an adult voice to speak our mind about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And many times, and sometimes it's in opposition to their opinion.
Well, and it can be a hard transition
right.
for parents,
right?
Because you raise your kids a certain way, and when they start voicing differences, that can be kind of frightening, but we have to allow our children to discover, right? We've done what we can do, mm-hmm. and at a certain point, they've got to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And by showing them some respect and acknowledgement that they're allowed to have an opinion that's different than ours
mm-hmm.
helps them, right?
Yeah, that means we have to be, Jill, we have to be looking out the front windshield of the car
mm-hmm.
as opposed to looking at the little child in the back seat
yeah.
through the rearview mirror eating a Happy Meal
mm-hmm.
because we can keep our kids little in the back seat.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
One more thing.
As
I'd
a parent.
Because as they grow, it's a loss. You lose that little child, right?
But that's right. And some parents are in denial about that process mm-hmm. that you just said.
Well, you not only want them to know that they can have a different opinion, but they need to know that you care about
mm-hmm.
their different.
Yeah.
You want to hear their opinion. And you've spent, preaching to myself here, you've spent as much time listening as trying
as
to teach. You know? So,
that's right.
Preaching to myself here. Okay. So,
and nothing against Happy Meals, okay?
No.
Or rearview mirrors, you know.
That's right. So we've got something coming up. Mylon and I and Kay, his wife Kay, we're going to be doing the Intimacy in Marriage Weekend in Dallas.
Mm.
And every city in the world can fly into Dallas. Or you can walk. There are trains that go there. A lot of different ways to get there. But I'm telling you, this is a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that's part of this they wanted me to mention is, well, Kay takes the women, talks with them about being a sexually confident wife. And a lot of times, you know, we don't get the proper teaching and we just wonder. We wonder. And this can really change things where you're doing what is good for you and also good for the other person. And Mylon and I, we work with the guys and we try to help them to see things maybe from a different perspective than they've seen before. But if you sign up, between now and October the 1st, you could save $200 on this.
Wow.
Now remember, our intensives, we bring in therapists, Christian counselors. So you hear somebody speak and then you go to work. And Becky Brown and I facilitated groups on two different weekends. And I have to say, miracles happened. Miracles happened on those weekends. It was amazing to see the change, the transformation. So you could be chugging along there in misery or kind of mediocrity. we could help you find the kind of marriage that you always dreamed of, thought not possible. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come and join us. It's the Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And by the way, a gift of any amount. We will send you Living Strong, Finishing Well. That's Dr. Dave Stoop's last book and maybe his best one. I don't know. It really is a wonderful, wonderful book. And he did what it says in the book. You know, a lot of people are lying and they fake what they write about. But Dave, you know, he did live well. He was consistent, probably the most consistent.
Well, and he was such an authentic person. So, you know, he means what he writes.
So he lived well, and, you know, he wanted the book entitled, which we thought was a better title,
yep.
Don't Die Before You're Dead. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do that. I mean, he lived right up to the very end and just an amazing human being. And he's giving you some ways to live well and finish strong. And doggone it, how many people do we see messing up later in life? Why? Because they had everything together but one thing. And it's the one thing that tears everything apart. Well, it's a great book to help you. It's our gift to you for a gift of any amount. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, please do. Let's go to, how about we talk over here to Bobby. He's calling from Jefferson City, Missouri. Listens on the podcast there. Hey, Bobby, how you doing there?
Good. How are you guys?
Excellent. What's going on? Yeah, well, I probably thought you were. Well, I did. I thought you were Bobby the man. So Bobby the female.
I have gotten that my entire life. No big deal.
Well, okay.
So I'll get right to my question. So I'm a federal employee, and as you all know, that there's a COVID vaccine mandate on the table right now. So I'm not anti-vax. I just want everybody to know that. But I am not supportive of this particular vaccine for a number of reasons. So my question is it appropriate to submit a religious exemption from the vaccine? They've said that we can submit either, we have the option of submitting either a medical or religious exemption for consideration. Mm-hmm. And they've also told us that they may not approve very many of them. So is that appropriate, do you all think?
Well, so you're saying... Or you would be saying, because of my beliefs, my Christian beliefs, I don't want the vaccine. Is that really true? Is that the source of it? Because that's part of your what?
I was just going to say that's part of what I'm struggling with is while I feel like my religious faith for sure doesn't support it, I am in my heart I know that I'm more upset by the fact that I feel like it's discrimination and I feel like it's unconstitutional and the fact that there's something not quite with these vaccines and I'm not comfortable taking them. So mm-hmm. I feel like if I submit a religious exemption, that's not really where my heart is. I mean, although that's true, it's not on my list of top four reasons. It would be number four.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, Bobby, there are some sample religious exemptions floating around out there that you can get a hold of. It might be a good idea to get a hold of one of those and read through what other people have quoted and see where your heart is with that. Because really, they're not asking for your top reason, right? They're not asking for your second reason. They're saying it's either medical or religious. Those are your choices. So do you have a significant medical reason not to get it? And
no.
Okay.
Thanks.
So so you might look at the religious exemption and see and pray about it and see, okay, can I in good faith and conscience say that this, I mean, it's certainly one of your reasons. Mm-hmm. And if that's the option they're giving you, then you could decide if you should utilize that or not.
I talked to a medical doctor the other day, Bobby, who is a medical doctor, I'll say that again, and did not want to get the vaccine and use a religious exemption to petition the corporation he worked for, and so he did not get vaccinated. So it's you really have to stop and ask, what do I want to use, and what tools have been authorized for me to use? And then I will use one of them. And, and it's just that simple.
Yeah.
If that's, you can try it.
Right. And there, I don't know, there's a lot of doctors I've heard that aren't willing to give medical exemptions. That are hesitant about that, too.
Okay. So that's why the religious one may work better.
Now, I have a couple of things I want to say. I do. I did get the vaccine, and I haven't gotten sick. But there is a wonderful, wonderful video by Eric Clapton. He's just talking as a normal person and what happened to him when he took the vaccine. And I would just go online and listen to him, because he is an example of someone that it really did not go well. And so when it comes to a third shot, he went and he got vaccinated, had the two shots, but he's not going to do any booster no matter what. He's not going to do it because it had such the other two had an adverse effect. And he got a doctor to say to him, you must not take this. It could, you know, do worse damage. But his hands became so inflamed, if he touched anything, it hurt. He plays the guitar. You can only imagine what that's like. So I want to say that. And then I'm just going to say this. I was listening to watching a program, and the woman said, I've had COVID. And she says, a doctor was on with her. He said, I understand that I have a 27% higher immunity level than somebody that takes the vaccine. And so I don't want the vaccine. The doctor said, no, you're mistaken. It's 27 times more immune, not 27% more. You have 27 times the immunity if you've had it. And so I'm not saying anything political or whatever. I'm just saying that if I had had it, that would be really hard for me to sign up to take a vaccine that does have adverse effects for some people, and I've got an immunity level 20. I just don't see how you can force somebody who's had it and has that kind of immunity level to do something like that. In fact, I don't think you can. I think it's unconstitutional. I think they're going to eventually rule sooner or later, probably sooner.
Well,
than it is.
And two, if you're somebody that's had it and God has given you those natural antibodies, who are we to say that that's not good enough?
Right.
So did Bobby say she had COVID?
No.
I don't know.
No, she didn't. I was
you
just making a statement.
Okay.
No. I just had some strong feelings about that.
Not to my knowledge, although a couple years ago I wondered if I did before all of this. But our cutoff is November 22nd, that we have to be 2 weeks past the very last dose of whatever option. So that's coming up pretty quick that we would have to have the first dose. We received another email today, and it had some guidance in it, but it didn't say what was going to happen on the November 22nd. They've not actually come out today. You're going to be fired. But like I know my supervisor has said, I can't imagine it's going to end well for those of you who don't comply with this mandate. So I don't know. I'm just really struggling with some things.
Yeah, it's really tough. Really, really tough. And, and there's
really
some people that, well, you could afford to lose your job, and other people you just simply can't. Larry's in the studio, and Larry has a lot of feelings about this, and so he wants to share feeling. Go ahead, Larry.
I know somebody that filed for a religious exemption, and I think part of the reason he got it was he offered the accommodations that he could, that they could offer him that he could do that would keep him more safe than otherwise.
Like what?
Like he would not eat with the other staff. He would not rent a car and drive alone with anybody else. And in his job, that was a situation. So if there are accommodations you can consider and offer, that might help your case.
Well, and in some places are just saying weekly testing, too.
Yeah.
Right.
That was part of it.
They offered weekly testing in July, and that's no longer on the table. They're not allowing us to do that as an alternative. But I'm a field biologist. I spend time with wildlife and not with a lot of people, and when I'm doing all of my office and my admin computer work, I'm at home. So I really don't feel like they need to force this on some of us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm glad you called us. And
I think lots of people are in this dilemma.
Yeah, it's tough. And,
right?
And,
I think so, too.
Yeah. We're just talking,
thank y'all for your help.
Yeah, we're just talking from a practical standpoint. Let me, I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that you would like that. Just our way of saying thank you. But, you know, we're not political. We're just talking about feelings about this. Mm-hmm. We all have different feelings, whether we're pro or not pro. And it's just tough. It's a hard, hard thing for a lot of people. Other people, no problem. They just go take a vaccine. But I do recommend, if you are set on any particular opinion, this Eric Clapton thing, because it's just his experience. He's talking about his experience as a man, mm-hmm. and he's not every word in there is pure, but he is a pretty bright guy. He has been around a while. Speaking of bright guys, Larry, you're in the studio early today. Glad that you are. It looks like you have a bunch of paper there, a lot of things that you've got there. Tell us what you want to tell us.
Well, we have workshops always coming up, and we have testimonies, and this one gives credit to one of our workshops, so I want to share both of these and encourage folks to support or continue to support New Life.
Okay.
This lady asked to be anonymous, but here's what she said. We're not using names. My marriage had been suffering deeply for 10 years. I've been a New Life follower for 25 years. Radio daily broadcast and the Boundaries books shaped my life. In 2018, we attended the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. It was then that Paul, our phenomenal counselor, and the small group experience set me on a path which has changed my life forever. 5 years later, after having attended Al-Anon regularly, I called in crisis, and when my husband's integrity and character was in question. It was, in my opinion, being compromised, and he's a pastor. Jeff at your call center comforted me in crisis and referred me to a personal counselor in my area. I separated from my husband, home separation, until I could see more clearly for myself what I needed. In July, we had a breakthrough. My husband had a huge epiphany and change of heart. We'd been in 4 months of couples counseling. He was able to speak his heart to me in a way that allowed me to re-enter fully to our relationship. Trust is slowly being rebuilt, and New Life has been the catalyst for it all.
Mm. That's why we're here. I mean, that's wonderful.
Another life change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just love that people's eyes are open to, we have so many paradigm shifts. People get stuck seeing the same thing, doing the same things, and saying it's hopeless. And then when they can see it differently and they experience that shift, it's amazing.
And it's a testament to what you three here do on radio all the time. I mean, radio daily broadcast was part of her growing up and learning and listening and seeing how to deal with things.
Now, technically, a catalyst is not affected by the reaction that is created by the catalyst. But we are affected. You see, we look at these things and it melts our hearts. It takes us to a position where we just want to keep doing what we're doing and doing the workshops and doing radio. So I hate to be the science teacher here. I apologize because I was once upon a time. So I'm just saying, but we are a catalyst that is changed. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Which.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we say we get a front seat to watching the Holy Spirit
do
work.
We do.
And we are so blessed to witness
how
all this.
How can that not change us?
How can that not change us? Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, from a scientific perspective, it's amazing.
But it is amazing.
What a gift that New Life has been doing this for almost 35 years now, and it's still happening. It's happening every day. It's happening every workshop. We started with this one word. The most important word was transformation. We didn't want people to feel better for a little while. And that's what you're talking about. Change of heart in this pastor's heart. Hmm. Hosea said, plow up the hard ground of your heart. That's really what we're trying to do here. Because when that is plowed up, I mean, God's love can come in there and plant the seeds of righteousness. And that's what we want for every person. If you need some help in any area, you call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us reach people with hope and help and healing, it's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today on New Life Live. And, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, nor do I ever want to beat a live horse. Even worse when you beat a live horse.
But you could get in trouble for that.
Okay, so she calls about the vaccination, not wanting it, and and religious exemption and all that. It's just another example of how uncertain these times are, all the different things we've never had to deal with before. And I want to mention a resource that we have. It's just one of my favorite resources ever. And it's 100 Days to Freedom from Fear and Anxiety. I'm holding it up now. If you're watching on YouTube, here it is. It's one of these 100-day devotions. They're all like leathery, this beautiful, comfortable cover. And there are insights, great quotes, a scripture, a prayer, and then devotional material. But, you know, Mark Twain said here on the day 21, which is kind of humorous, got to throw in the humor, I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened, which is the way it is. But here's David Jeremiah. He says, set a clear focus in your life, and fear will be crowded out many times by the focus. The more you fix your eyes on God's purpose for you, the more you will overcome your fear. Now, that kind of makes sense. If I'm focused, if I'm anchored in my intention, my mind, then I'm not wandering, I'm not worrying, and I've got some security there. And that's from David Jeremiah. But this little book can really help you if there's fear or anxiety that's really troubling you. And I think most of us are, maybe we don't even realize it, but there's just a little more trouble in this day and age. And a lot of it is stuff we can't control or influence, but we can influence what's in our heart. That's the main
thing. And that's the hard thing, Steve, is that most of us are used to dealing with our own internal struggles, right? The stuff that's in our immediate sphere, family, friends. But when you have the world at large, where there is so much collective fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
So then you have fear on the outside and fear on the inside. And what can you count on then? Where is the stable ground?
Right.
I think that is what so many people are feeling these days. We feel it in the air practically, and then we have it in our own lives as well.
And to hitchhike on one of your words you used earlier, Jill, there are so many dilemmas that we face. And a dilemma is a choice between two not great options.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times we want things to be clean and nice and smooth. But many times we have to choose between two non-optimal choices.
Right,
and
right.
And that's unpleasant. And it is very disconcerting to us, but we have to, just like, you know, our caller Bobby, she's going to have to make a decision toward one choice
and
or
neither
another.
Are great neither, in her mind,
that's
right?
That's right. And, and so that's a true definition of a dilemma. It's two non-optimal choices.
Right. And she was saying that she has several reasons,
right?
It depends on, you hold something up and which angle are you looking at,
right?
What's the emphasis here? So that's another thing. It's not always clear-cut.
But this isn't new. I mean, the concept of warfare, conscientious objectors, non-resistance, the number of people. There was a famous movie out not long ago of a soldier who did not want to be a fighter, so he became one of a medic.
And
he ended up being a hero because mm-hmm. he marched into war and hauled off all these people who were hurt.
Mm-hmm. That was a great story.
It's a beautiful story, mm-hmm. but he acted within his conscience.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also served. And so there's right. these tensions are always present.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we can do, you know, is that we can realize we got some stuff from the past that's mm-hmm. creeping in, and the more vulnerable we come or the more things on the outside that happen, the more we might come to realize there's some things down in there that I've never dealt with. And, you know, we've heard a couple of things on programs recently where it was somebody saying something
mm-hmm.
Or somebody you know, doing something that impacted the way the person felt, an opinion, an idea, shame, and it was just an inappropriate thing that said. And I have to believe there are a lot of people that are listening right now that it's the same way. Your life has been impacted so hard by something someone said, and they did not know what they were doing. And I pray that whatever damage that did, that you would seek out God's perspective on things, because God is for you, and God is not there to shame you. God is rich in mercy. And so I hope and pray that somehow somebody's really done a bad job with the words that they've said, that you fill your mind with God's word. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles, and we can get you a Bible to fill your mind with God's word. But really, it's part of an overall plan to live a better life, and that's what we're called to do. All right, you hear the music, we're going to take a break. Come back, more of New Life Live. Mylon Yurkovich, of course, with Kay, the author of How We Love. It's the foundation of our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop on October 15th in Dallas, and you can find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can also get Jill's book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, right there.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today, wherever you are. Hope it's going to be a better day. We'll go back to the phones in just 1 second. Jen, hold on. We'll get to you. Did I say Jen? Yeah, okay. And by the way, if you are interested in having a husband with integrity, wouldn't that be something? To have a real-life husband with integrity. October 8th, 9th, and 10th, well, that's Every Man's Battle in Atlanta. And what a great, great experience that is. You know, we talk about Every Man's Battle a lot, and you might get so used to us talking about it that you forget 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, something was happening in the life of your husband. And now it's there. And we've worked on this. We've refined this workshop, and it could really change everything for you. And the end result isn't that some guy stops lusting or looking at pornography. That happened. But what we love to see is there's an attunement with the person he's married to. There is a connection, an intimacy that's deeper than maybe you ever dreamed. That's what is on the other side of every man's battle. And so if you're married to somebody that needs this, then you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll help you with some strategies on how to make that happen. All right, let's go to Jen, see what is on her mind. Hi, you're on with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. How you doing?
Good, hi. I'm calling. I have a child that was recently diagnosed with dyslexia, and, you know, with all the challenges that we have as parents in general, my main struggle is trying to figure out a way for him to... He's very defeated, very upset, very easily frustrated, and comes home from school just feeling left out and lonely and kind of bullied at times, but I can just tell it's a lot to do with his confidence, and my husband and I do so much to pour into this poor boy, and we just think he's amazing, and we're just at a loss in what to do next when it comes to his confidence.
So, Jill, Mylon, either of you work with dyslexia?
Well, I have worked with so many ways and aspects in which people don't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And so
learning disabilities or otherwise,
that's
right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Learning disabilities, physical disabilities, et cetera, et cetera. So, Jen, this is a great question because... I don't remember the name of the author. I spoke at a conference, and this was one of the conference speakers, and she wrote a book called What Kind of Smart Are You? And I have a son who did not fit into the school system well. That just wasn't going to be the place he excelled. But he's one of the smartest people I know, and he's brilliant in certain ways. His kinesthetic awareness is absolutely off the charts. So he's one of these guys who could probably get in a helicopter and make it fly just because he has all the feel of how to make something work. I'm being a little extreme there, but I want to illustrate my point.
Right.
Okay?
Let's hope he doesn't.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I hope
People's
he doesn't.
People's talents show up differently.
They do. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I would find the ways that he does excel and celebrate that with him and help him understand that not everybody fits in precisely as the majority of students. As a matter of fact, when I was a high school teacher, the statistics were, you know, the high school or the school system catches about 70% of the kids and it doesn't catch. In other words, it misses 30% of the kids.
And more of those are boys that it actually
quite often
misses.
Jill, that's absolutely right. So
yeah.
To help him celebrate what he's really great at and to help him see that he will be able to do things other kids can't do.
Well, and I think to come to terms with and accept that he does not have a neurotypical brain. Right? His brain functions differently, and to really understand his disability, because he does have to learn how to cope with it and how to compensate for it. And then to bring in learning specialists, people that can help him come up with strategies for how to compensate for it. And it takes a lot of effort, but it's doable. It's really doable. And this doesn't make him not okay, right? So many people are not neurotypical. And
right.
Like you were saying, you know, contribute great things. But as a kid, and depending, I don't know if we know his age, but elementary school, that's where you are getting reactions from your peers, right? So are there other things, Jen, besides his dyslexia that maybe he also needs some help with? You mentioned his confidence, okay? How were his social skills? Is he ahead of the curve in maturity or behind the curve in maturity? And so I think working on a lot of aspects and not making this dyslexia as the thing that defines him.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing about him. It's an anomaly about him.
Right? I agree. And I would... I don't want to be political here.
Okay.
But I
Go
will,
ahead.
I will be.
No, don't.
Okay, I will be because our governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is dyslexic.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
And he's very articulate and he has a tremendous capacity to speak intelligently. But he has to make special notes to himself when he has notes or whatever he's using. But he's an example of a person who has a diagnosis of dyslexia. Mm-hmm. I read this article not long ago, but he has moved into a place where he's highly successful mm-hmm. in terms of his capacity to be in front of people. So I think it's important to put a person like that in other famous people who
right. well, or,
have certain disabilities but have yeah. worked through them.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have a cousin, too, that is dyslexic, and mm-hmm. school was very hard for her, mm-hmm. but she pushed through, now runs her own business, is highly successful.
Right.
She trains people in lifeguarding and swimming and all kinds of health mm-hmm. Issues, CPR, mm-hmm. things
okay.
like that.
To your point, Whoopi Goldberg, Steven Spielberg.
Your son is in good company is what we're trying to say.
Henry Winkler, the Fonz.
Which you wouldn't know that, right?
Keira Knightley.
All those
these
people.
Are, yeah, these are all dyslexic folks. So I have, my assistant is actually an author, and she's written a book on dyslexia, and I can send it to you. It's called Lexi Dias and the Power of Dyslexia. And what she's done, she's taken these problems and presented them to kids in her book from the perspective of a superhero and the positive, the upside of these things and what they do. And I'll get that to you. But it's called Lexi, L-E-X-I, space, D-I-A-S. And you can get it on Amazon.
That's a clever title.
Yeah, that yeah. is.
Well, it's a clever series. And, yeah, so, yeah, I'll get that to you. And I hope that's
Thank
helpful.
You.
I appreciate your phone call. We don't do enough about this, but we are doing a whole mm-hmm. series of books. Our first two books, Understanding and Loving a Child with ADHD, and then the second one is on your child who's smoking pot, and we do have those available for anybody who's struggling in that area. But yeah, we'll get that to you. Thank you for your call. I've got another caller to go to here, and that's going to be, who is this amazing caller? I can't get my screen open quick enough. It is Ray. Hi, Ray from Fresno. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. What's going on?
Well, I'll be right back. I have two daughters that play a sport.
Okay.
And the 16-year-old loves to play this sport, and my 13-year-old is not a fan of it at all.
Okay.
But we have to travel, because it's an uncommon sport, we have to travel an hour each way, 5 to 6 days a week. And so it's 2 hours a day of driving, 2 hours a day of practice, and then tournaments on the weekends.
Wow.
So it is our entire life right now. And mm-hmm. the younger one is very artistic. She likes to be in the art club. She does Irish dancing after school. She likes to do things that don't have anything to do with sports, really. And my husband insists that girls especially have to be in sports, and if they're not in sports, then they're going to have problems with self-esteem and all this other stuff. So this year I let him insist that she do it this year, and I think that he's going to push for it next year as well, and she's just not a fan. So I don't know, like, I can see the benefit. I can see the benefit of her doing it already this year in her confidence and whatever. She still insists she hates it, even though she seems like she's having fun. So I don't know. My other daughter's going to be a senior this year, and so I don't know if next year. So I don't know if I go ahead and let him insist that she do it next year, and then she can make her own decision the year after. Next year she'll be in ninth grade.
Okay. Glad you called. Hold on. Going to go to a break. I think we can help you. Big dilemma. We all want our kids to be healthy, but sometimes moving them toward one kind of health produces a different kind of dishealth. All right.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artiburn here. So, I have something to say, Ray, about this, and then I'll turn it over to Mylon and Jill. Madeline, my oldest daughter, she's 30. She started playing soccer at age 6. She played through high school. She went to college. She played 4 years in college. She's 30 years old. She is on three soccer teams today, and one of them is a semi-pro team that won first place in their division. So I'm a soccer dad. Now, I have a 12-year-old that when she was six, we went out to play soccer because I love soccer. I want to be part of that. It was too cold for her. So here's what I think. I think me getting her to go experience that was a good thing. And sometimes we need to push our kids to try something. But to push our kids to continue something they don't want to do, I think is really damaging. And any kind of benefit, like everybody needs a sport or whatever, it's just totally negated because of that kind of pressure. So while I would love for her to have been a soccer child, she wasn't. Her mom played volleyball all through high school. So a couple of years later, her mom introduces her to volleyball, which at her age was more than volleyball. It was watch the ball come over the net and bounce off the floor. But I'm telling you, when that didn't work out for her, she discovered climbing, and she's one of the most creative. She writes better than I do at age 12. I'm not kidding you. And so we've got to let kids find their stuff, and I am not for any parent agreeing, yeah, let's pressure our child to do something for a lot of hours of the day that they don't want to do. I'm not for that.
Right.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, and you have to ask yourself, what's the motivation for this? And what you did in exposing your daughter to an activity, has that been served? And so who is this for now? If you have a kid that's
saying... He wants our family to be together.
Oh, okay, so this is for...
He wants all four of us to be together.
I understand that, but this is for your husband. This isn't for your daughter. And his world revolves around this sport. And so
absolutely,
that's great. But really, you've got this child that has these other talents. And you said she's into Irish dancing. Dancing is a sport, actually. So she has these other talents. She's given it a try. Why hold her back from exploring her other talents? Why not let her? I mean, this is adolescence. Is a time for trying on different identities to see what is me, what isn't me. And so I think at a certain point she's going to start to push back, or she might conform
She's been trying to push back, but she is the very sweet, compliant one.
Yeah, so she's just going to shut down then. Right, if she doesn't have a voice in this family.
Yeah.
And then she won't want to be with a family.
Mm-hmm.
See, the very thing your husband wants, he's not going to get if he forces her into an artificial compliance.
Right, or now, she's going to spend her adulthood in therapy figuring this out, right?
Yeah. And I just would add two more things, Ray. Number one, coaches can be very strong-willed and domineering. That's why they're a coach, and that's why they are
good at what they do.
They're good if they're strong-willed and domineering, because they make the team do what they're supposed to do, and they end up usually winning. And my question to you, Ray, is how hard is it for you to have a voice with your husband?
Good point.
I'm getting better at it. I've actually called in before. I'm getting better at it, but I have always been, you have stronger opinions about it, so we'll go with your opinions. But on this one, I feel like pushing back. Like, I think that it's damaging her heart, honestly. Like, she feels like if she's not, this is what she tells me, if she's not doing this sport, she feels like dad's just not going to like her as much. He's not going to be as interested in her because her sister's interested in what interests him.
Okay, so here's the deal. Your husband needs to listen to this program.
Mm-hmm.
And your husband needs to hear that he needs to sit down with her and say, I want you to know, the principle that I'm trying to uphold is keeping our family all being together. But that principle has not taken into consideration your personality. Mm-hmm. And this isn't something that I should be forcing on you, because the way I'm thinking we're all together produces resentment, bitterness, and disconnection with you. So I want you to know, if you never ever play another ounce of any sport, I love you. I want to help you be all that you can be. You are my daughter. I am proud of you. And I am not going to be an idiot who only loves the child that does the stuff I want them to do. I'm not that stupid of a dad that I would cram this down your throat because you, and then you accept it because you think that's the only way to get my love. I'm not that stupid. I'm not going to do that. And I am so sorry I've given you that impression, because your mom has told me that that's how you have felt and reacted. And I'm not going to do that. I love you. Be the person God has created you to be.
So, Steve, well stated. Now, Ray, I'm going to tell you one more thing, if I may. I have two people, I have four adult sons and daughters and my wife. So I have two artists in that cluster of people, an adult son and my wife. And may I just tell you, they don't fit into the regimented team sports world. They excel in individual things that they select. On top of that, my son, who's an artist, is also an introvert. So he's not drawn toward the group activities. He was the surfer, skateboarder guy. And he's an amazing waterman, and he is a great dad, and he's a phenomenal person. But he wasn't a sports guy, and my wife is not either, and she's the artist. So you really have to learn to celebrate that artistic person, because they don't march to the same beat of a drum.
And why can't the family be together at her performance of Irish dancing, or at her art exhibit, or whatever it is that she's doing? Each person should be celebrated and rallied around in a family.
Well, and this is going to be a place, Ray, this is also going to be a loss for your husband, a place of loss, because he's trying to hold on to something that's dear to him. And he will have to wrestle. He will have to wrestle with this letting go, and affirming your daughter that she is special as well.
And you can let him know that you feel for him, because you know that this is going to be a loss, that it is going to be very difficult for him, and that you have great compassion for that. Oh, my goodness. You know, here's the sad thing. When a dad does something like that, the daughter ends up hating the mother. I mean, we see this all the time, that she's trying to do all the right stuff, but the daughter needs to be saved from it, you know, and then she's angry because mom never helped me.
Well, and Mylan brought up a good point. I think mom and youngest daughter are very similar.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So mom needs to learn to step up to help daughter.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
Hope we've helped you, because if we helped you, I think we've helped a lot of people who end up in this same situation. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Mylan. Thank you, Jill.
Thank
you, Steve.
Appreciate
you guys. Love you, care about you, and all who listen, watch, and support us. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.